This is all always fun, and it does, like, it makes you feel really old when you start to think about when the first time you read at Hemingway's was. The first time I read at Hemingway's, I met Michael Worster, and here he is. So, and then I went to graduate school here, and then we had Hemingway's, and one of my teachers was Ed Oechester, and there he is. And so here we are. This is exciting. Welcome, David. It is a good audience, right? I'm only going to read one poem from this book, okay? And the premise of this book, I'm sorry, I know I've been saying this a lot, but the whole point of this book was that it started from this project where I made a list of alcoholic beverages, any that I've ever had, any that I've ever wanted to have, maybe even any that I heard about, right? I made a list, and then I associated them with yoga asanas or postures. So that was a project, and that was something to keep me from writing my dissertation, and which is how I work. It got more complicated than that as time went on. But I'm just going to read one poem here, which is Warrior II. And just a couple of things about it. There's some language spliced in here that comes from Leonardo da Vinci's sketchbooks. And I kind of thought, you know, Warrior II, right? It looks like that, what's that Vitruvian man? Is that what it's called? Yeah, you know, when he's like this. So Warrior II's like that. And so I started thinking, oh, okay, I'll follow that line of thinking. I'll research Da Vinci a little bit. And then so when I got a hit for Vitruvian Man, the first place I landed was on this bodybuilder's website. You know, so that's in there too. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Oh, and also there's another reference in the title. Always be Warrior II, or always be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle, right? We see this all the time on Facebook. It's a really nice meme. And I started to research that a little bit too on the interwebs to try to find out who actually said it. And everybody thinks it's Philo of Alexandria, but other people say most definitely not. Most definitely not. So that comes up. All right. Warrior II, or always be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Stand up, drop fruit, wait for the seeds to make love to their allotment of ground. As they rise, feel their pull from every side. Forget you once had angles, let your head engulf the rest of you. I draw the arm from 8 points of view, of which 3 are from the outside, 3 are from the inside, 1 is from behind, and 1 is from in front. If your arms extend into a spear, diameter of some great sphere inside which lives a warrior, you will become disarmed, your gonads and guts inside a cup that's tipped just slightly up. Ages pass. And then some bodybuilder dusts off old Da Vinci sketches, dreams a slow rotation of the torso inside a cappella space, and builds a website. Every angle is a curve if you can push it to its end and then a little more. Nothing will break inside this space. Your gaze, a gift you carry just in case you're empty-handed. Something good to give a neutral spot above your fingertips, no strings attached, no charcoal sighs of who owes whom or why it might be like this. Retire the story of the Amazons hacking off one breast. Hesitate to break the trance, to consciously embrace the Philo quote. It's a beautiful notion, though the attribution doesn't have legs. The important thing is to make the move from spear to sphere as quietly as possible. Okay, so I'm going to read this. This is the first time I'm reading this. It's kind of a newer thing. And I don't know what it is. It has long lines. It's called The Turbines. I'm having trouble with the shadow of the mic and reading. Can I take this off?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's better. The turbines. We and the car and the road were all Kansas. The people who called us in transit were stretched out to dry on the no-nonsense rack that is Kansas. We drove within two plates, the sky mostly solid and veined by distinct colors of light, with patches where light simply shattered and wept. The other, an olive and russet cheek that had turned many times, though it was hard to discern what the spirit of that turning was. Forgiving, masochistic, truly avid. Jesus billboards greeted us from nowhere, disappeared with our dreams of FM radio. Kansas was my central nervous system in its magic carpet situation. There in the future, the turbines seemed to wave without tension, like bipedal car lot inflatables. This is the place. You'll break for this. Two, it's the fact that they say farming the wind that got me interested. For obvious reasons, because if you can farm the wind, what can't be farmed? As a teacher, I believe I'm farming students. They are ears of corn. Sometimes they listen to me. I will overhaul my syllabi with this in mind. Co-pilot commented in Kansas that the windmills do not move in unison. Is this the reason for farm and not factory? We tilted toward them, but never truly reached them. I'm farming the infusion of my nervous system with language and perceptions. There have been droughts and golden harvests. The manufacture of the massive blades is a growing industry. There is no flying these 9-ton arms from factory to farm. They are transported on tractor trailers, back fins of a whale. What is it like to pray with certainty, poised on the horizon line like sentinels? Three, a turbine tower is taller than the Statue of Liberty, energy.gov informs us. Immediately, the assumption might be that compared to the wind turbine's hardworking life, Liberty's a welfare queen, or kept woman, or real housewife, whatever misogynistic metaphor you choose, Liberty has no power that can be recognized as not tied to capital or force. The taller towers benefit from higher, faster winds, generating more electricity. The comparison made by the government site is not meant to be political, or it is. Conspiracy theorists might think that all of this means green energy will take away our freedom. I spent most of my life ignoring the inner workings of machines. When presented with a diagram or even moving pictures, I saw as through a glass darkly. They're friendly parts. Four, winds higher than 50 miles per hour are no good. The turbines get shut off. But, as the search phrase puts it, could windmills alter the weather? I turn instead to translations of an otherwise inextricable tangle of French, English, and Arabic. What I hear one thread say is, we want a progressive society. There is no room for those who would keep that from happening, secular, democratic, and free. We will not wait for them to die off, as they will. And another shouts back, outraged by the infidel's wish for his death, julienned by the strap of a machine gun. In other words, turbines make turbulence, open air mixers of different swatches of atmosphere. Current events can be simplified when they are farther away, but they can, in fact, alter the weather. Five, I can stand to the side of myself, like one turbine next to another, and admit I know diddly squat about turbines. One turbine can power up to 500 homes. Turbines sing inexorably and vibrate through the vestibules of those living near them. Even when the frequency is below human hearing range, the waves still whittle the ear bones, all those slender model airplane parts, wreaking the sort of mundane havoc that can wear one down, insomnia, canal-related vertigo. Like fish and frogs, we hear through our bones, unaware of torture. From up close, nearby, in a tidy little farmhouse, it sounds like a series of jets taking off, or the same one taking off, but never leaving. Okay. Prince. Okay, so this is a poem that I wrote a few weeks after he died, and it also became a poem about cassette tapes. We all got a space to fill. A half a century ago, the tank was full. I bore down and found myself in Hallmark resurrection land, and none of this is relevant to, well, hi-fi turned to Wi-Fi, and the man refused to let himself stream out in cubicle ribbons, muzaking the workday a la steam valve, a la salve on deep indebtedness to point of indenture. 30 years ago, we writhed to tambourine and shook our Hare Krishna hands like palm fronds when Around the World in a Day came on. Today, my daughter said I was a boomer, but I'm on the border, I told her. And besides, Prince was without a doubt Gen X's voice, the moiling of every conceivable genre into a satin Mr. Rooter, clearing even the funkiest pipes. Listen, I say to the house now, and pop the cassette in. Listen, everybody upstairs. That's what's up with cassette tapes. You have to go through the whole thing to hear what you need to hear. Even fast-forwarding counts, the way blackout sex counts, the way late fees on credit cards count, fleas on carcasses. And what you just heard must be heard if you want to hear what you hear now. Awesome.